Hi, friends. Welcome to Spilling the Beans podcast, where we spill the beans on all things intuitive eating, health at every size, body acceptance, and gentle nutrition. I'm your host and registered dietitian, Amanda Lambrix, and you may know me as @spillingthebeans_nutrition on Instagram and Facebook. Go ahead, get comfortable, grab a snack, and let's get started spilling the beans. We are back this week with Principle 6 of our Intuitive Eating series, Discover the Satisfaction Factor. Today our guest is Lisa Lombardini, and Lisa is a registered dietitian who uses her counseling skills to help patients work towards a healthier relationship with food. She is the owner of Full Permission Nutrition, which is a Massachusetts-based private practice. And during our conversation, I also discovered that we've actually been at two of the same conferences in New York City, and somehow neither of us cross paths. I'm learning every day what a small world it is. And in her conversation, we talked about the difference between fullness and satisfaction, why satisfaction is the hub of intuitive eating, how we can start to identify what foods are satisfying for us, and so much more. I had such a fun time chatting with Lisa, and I hope you enjoy our conversation as much as I did. All right, so today we're going to be talking about Principle 6, Discover the Satisfaction Factor, and we have dietitian Lisa with us today. How are you doing today?
Good, Amanda. How are you?
I am good, and I keep saying this to all my guests, but with all of this social distancing with COVID-19, I've been looking forward to interviewing people more than ever because it gives me a chance to socialize, if you will.
And at least talk to someone else.
Yes, especially when I do the solo episodes, it's kind of, you know, clearly I'm a talker. I can talk to myself for a long time, but it's nice to be able to hop on the phone and chat with you guys too and get your input. Before we dive in, for listeners who don't already know who you are, I'd love for you to be able to just introduce yourself a little bit. You know, what do you do for work? What are the types of clients you see? And we'll go from there.
Sure. So I do have a practice of my own. It's called Full Permission Nutrition. People can find me on Instagram and on my website too. But I also work full-time as a clinical dietitian. So I am working in a hospital. I work in central Massachusetts. So I do see a variety of patients there, especially during the COVID crisis. It's been very busy. But my practice is a little more kind of a side business for me. So in my practice, I guess I would say I see some people for, you know, chronic conditions like diabetes, but I also see a good number of people who come for trying to stop dieting, some people for specifically intuitive eating. But for most people, it kind of runs the gamut, but I do take insurance, which has helped. So that helps me see more of a variety of people who are coming for different, a lot of times it's medical conditions.
Yeah. I'm someone who, when I hear people say they take insurance, I'm always impressed by that because I am so intimidated by that whole process. So props for you for going through down that road.
Yeah. I found that that was another way, at least for me, to help kind of get my name out there and to help, since it is kind of a side business, you know, some more people come just because they found me through their insurance. And you know, for some people, it's more comforting to know they don't have to pay totally out of pocket. So I found that helpful.
Yeah, for sure. And also just that inclusion too, because not everyone can just purchase a package out of pocket, right, and have that privilege monetarily. So, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about food freedom and intuitive eating. And in a later episode, we're going to have a guest coming on to talk about health at every size and break that down. So when reflecting on, you know, your own relationship with food or your own journey, how would you say that's evolved over the years for you personally?
I think the biggest thing, I actually am a second career dietitian. So I worked for almost, let's see, maybe 6 or 7 years before I became a dietitian. I went back and ended up doing my master's in nutrition while I worked full time. I worked in research before. So nutrition was always something for me that was just an area of interest. I didn't actually go to a college undergrad that had nutrition. So it wasn't becoming a dietitian. I guess the path wasn't something that had really come to me until later, once I, you know, moved on my own, I started cooking. And I think that was kind of where my relationship with food started to become a little more diet focused, and I started focusing more on what are the calories in foods. I started exercising more, and you know, it really wasn't about what are nutritious foods. It was more about what are lower calorie foods so that I can try to, I was focused on weight and kind of post college, oh, I'm living alone now and learning to cook and that kind of stuff. And so that really was what brought me into the nutrition field. And I know that can be kind of a common theme sometimes with dietitians, is that the reason they found nutrition is because they were focused on their own nutrition and maybe not always for the best reasons. And I think that's one thing looking back now, I didn't get into nutrition just because I was this nutrition guru. It was more of like, oh, I lost weight and ate low calorie and I felt like I was some nutritious individual. And in reality, now my focus has changed so much from what brought me into the field. So I think actually as a practitioner, I have been in the intuitive eating, health at every size frame of mind. But when I was doing my master's, I definitely wasn't. So it was kind of a transition as I went through my master's degree. I actually ended up finding out about intuitive eating sort of through like an exercise fitness group that they sort of like rebranded themselves. And through that, that was how I learned more about even just not even specifically intuitive eating, but just kind of a more free relationship with food. And I think once you kind of start learning about that, you can't necessarily unlearn it almost. So it was sort of like everything kept building on that. It was like, oh, okay, now I've learned about having more freedom around food. Let me break down. I kind of saw all the places where I hadn't even realized diet culture was still in my life. And that ended up bringing me to learning more about health at every size and becoming part of like the WIN community with Heather Kaplan. And that was right around the time I went to my first WIN when I was still a student. And now I've been a dietitian for 2 years. And as long as I've been a dietitian now, this is the way I've been practicing. But it definitely wasn't the frame of mind I was in starting school for this career. So it definitely, looking back, has been interesting to see how far I've come, but also all the things that I had to learn in the world versus from school. So I think that's been a really important and a really great thing about social media and all the ways that we dietitians can connect with each other, even if we're not all in person in the same place. I wouldn't have learned all I've learned if it hadn't been for people I'd met online or at these retreats or even at nutrition events, things like that. So that's kind of where the short, long story about my relationship with food has taken time. But I think as long as I've been a practitioner, which has now only been for 2 years, I've really been able to at least impart the non-diet and weight neutral standpoint to all of the patients I see, whether it's in the hospital or whether I'm doing it on my own. At least I'm coming from that place. So it was nice that I did learn about that towards the end of my schooling. And I'm still learning every day, but that's how I've been able to practice, which has been good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's really interesting. Which WIND event did you go to, by the way?
Let's see. The first one that I went to was the first New York City WIND, which actually, I guess now that I'm thinking about it, I was a dietitian then. So that was it was last February, I think. And then I wasn't able to go to the DC event last fall, but I did go to WIND again this year. And I know you were there too. So that was a great... Yeah, this year was really great. I feel like last year we were all dipping our toes in it maybe. And this year we got really deep on a lot of topics, which was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for listeners who are wondering what WIND means, I actually do have Heather coming on for an episode coming up here in our series on intuitive eating, but it stands for Weight Inclusive Nutrition and Dietetics. And I went to that first WIND as well. And I remember I was so fired up afterwards and so excited to get back to posting on social media and working with clients. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if we had met there or what the deal is. I know we've communicated on social media over the years, but I think when I get to those conferences, I'm overwhelmed with all the information that's coming at me. And then I'm trying to figure out which face goes to which Instagram handle. So it's funny there's a lot of people where I was after the conference, I was like, wait, you were there? How did we not chat?
I know. And I think it can be overwhelming too sometimes when it's just like all these people that you maybe have liked their posts and followed them. And then now you're all in a room talking together. So like you said, putting faces to the names and being able to take all the information we've learned together virtually into one real life space. Mm-hmm. And that's a really great tool, I think.
Yes.
Especially since we're all in different parts of the country too.
Oh, exactly. And for me, I think I was probably one of the people who had to travel the furthest, since at the time I was living in South Dakota. Now I'm in Indiana, but which is still a bit of a stretch for travel. Yeah, but yep. For me, it was really nice because back in my home state where I was practicing at the time, there wasn't, I wouldn't say there's a lot of people who would identify as being a non-diet dietitian, or they maybe heard of intuitive eating at Health at Every Size, but I wouldn't say have gone maybe as deep as I have. Although I will say a lot of interns are expressing interest. And so I think it's because of social media, perhaps more people are hearing about it sooner, kind of like you did when you were getting to the end of your program. So I think that's really promising for the future of dietetics.
Yes. And I think one thing too that's helping that is even all the FNCE events, which is the National Nutrition Conference. And there have been a lot more recently that have been around intuitive eating and Health at Every Size. So I think just breaking into that space has probably brought a lot more students, but also other seasoned professionals to these topics. And that's been really, like you said, promising too.
Yes, because I know I had just started as a dietitian a couple years before you in 2016, I guess. And for me, I mean, there was no discussion of Health at Every Size. And I remember one person had mentioned intuitive eating because they had done a project on it in one of my classes, but that was all the exposure I had gotten. So I do have to give, as much as social media can be a pain in the butt sometimes, I do have to give some credit for getting the word out for sure and changing the way that our profession is going.
Yes. And I think what I hope is that this will be more of a part of nutrition education going forward. Because like you said, even when I did my master's too, I remember doing one project that was about Health at Every Size. And maybe it wasn't even a project. It might have just been like a homework assignment. Mm-hmm. And it was part of like an overall weight management class.
Yep.
Yeah. So it was something like a blurb in there, and we didn't touch on intuitive eating really at all. So I think when I just finished my master's in 2018. So my hope is that kind of as things go on, maybe it'll become more commonplace and start being in education more, and something that students learn about, not at these national conferences, but in everyday classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of promise there for sure. So when we get into the subject of Principle 6, discover the satisfaction factor, I love this principle because I kind of think of it as a fun one where we can start playing with food, exploring the types of foods we like. But when you think of this principle, kind of what comes to mind for you?
I think the biggest thing that comes to mind for this principle versus the other principles about feeling fullness and kind of about getting in tune with your body up until this point and kind of relearning all those cues. And I think the biggest thing that comes to mind for me with the satisfaction, you know, we hear a lot with intuitive eating is comparing it to like eating like you when you were a kid, before there were any necessarily rules or anything like that, before people went on diet, their first diets. And so the biggest thing for me that comes up with satisfaction is just remembering, what are the foods that really bring you joy? And maybe it's not even necessarily a specific food, but maybe it's a certain type of food that you have with certain people. Maybe it's a meal that your grandmother makes, you know, regardless of what it is. So there's so much more to the satisfaction part than just the food, but also a big part of it is the food and is relearning what it feels like to actually enjoy our meals and not just eating out of autopilot and not just eating the whatever our diet has allotted us for that meal or something like that. So I think that's the biggest thing that I think of with satisfaction is really just enjoying something. You know, you can kind of eat anything and get energy from it, but what is something that you're going to eat and really enjoy and that you're going to end that meal and feel, again, satisfied, but also just feeling good around that meal and good around maybe the people you enjoyed that meal with.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I think a lot of times intuitive eating can get watered down into just eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full. And it's leaving out, as you talked about, a huge chunk of the experience around food, whether that's enjoying your grandma's casserole that she makes at Christmas or all these other things and the fond memories maybe we have with food. All of those things are important. And if we leave this principle out, I think that we would be missing out on a lot of the positive memories we have with food and also the good relationship we can continue to build with food.
Yeah. And I think I've even noticed some of this stuff myself is sometimes things are more satisfying when you're out and eating them, maybe with other people, or even just going out to a restaurant. Now being home, like even getting takeout, sometimes it's like, oh, these foods aren't as satisfying sometimes at home as they are somewhere else. So that's something that's kind of come up a little bit through all this, mm-hmm. as well as many other things. But just some of the satisfaction part can be different.
And the other thing I think I've noticed too, which has been, I don't know if it's surprising, but also kind of cool, is I've noticed some people talking about baking more. I've seen a lot of people making mm-hmm. banana bread, or sourdough bread is the other one I've been seeing a lot. And I think that's also been cool, because if they're not able to buy things like that at the store, or if they are not really someone who normally eats bread period, I think it's kind of cool that now that they maybe have a chance to slow down, they're creating those memories in the kitchen, and also maybe in some ways building a good relationship with those types of foods now that they do have a little bit more time to be mindful about it.
Right. Yeah. And seeing things, you made it from scratch. A lot of times people don't have the time, whatever it might be, maybe you don't have the energy or the resources to do that. And I think that's a big part of it too, is seeing it come from nothing into this great meal or this great food mm-hmm. is a big part.
Absolutely. I do know that I'll be happy when I can go to a restaurant again, but we don't know when that will be quite yet. So when I remember first reading the Intuitive Eating book, and I was kind of flipping through the principles, I remember thinking, okay, we have listen to when you're hungry and stop when you're full. But then I got to satisfaction factor, and without reading the chapter, I remember thinking, well, what's the difference between satisfaction and fullness? Because I think I had always associated, if I'm satisfied at the end of the meal, as okay, I'm full, or I'm at this comfortably full place. So I'm wondering if you can maybe explain what the difference between satisfaction and fullness are.
So I think in my head, the difference is you could really get full on anything. Sometimes we have a hard time listening to our hunger cues, and that's a whole nother part of the principles too. But I think once you get back in tune with knowing when you feel full, you can still feel full at the end of a meal and be like, eh, that wasn't really that satisfying. That meal didn't really excite me that much. And I think in my head, that is where I see the difference. Because you could be, I just think back of dieting days. Like, let's say you ate some frozen low calorie meal. You could finish that and feel maybe full, but you might not be satisfied after that. And usually what that tends to lead to is you're saying, okay, what else can I have to maybe make myself feel satisfied? And especially with dieting, a lot of times what people will do is they'll say, oh, I really want maybe a dessert. But they say, I can't have that. So they try to fulfill that need with, maybe I'll have some apples and a piece of chocolate. And then they say, oh, that didn't do it. So then they have something else. And then eventually what ends up happening is you ate all this other food to try to feel the satisfaction you would have had from just having maybe a slice of cake or whatever it was. So I think in some regards, the satisfaction comes from honoring what your body truly wants and needs. And that's one place where maybe you aren't always going to feel satisfied at the end of a meal, but sometimes maybe you're out and about and you just, whatever you brought yourself for lunch that day is what you have. And maybe it wasn't that great, but I think the difference in the mindset can still help you feel satisfied. And maybe you eat a meal that you, at the end of it, you say, oh, I'm full, but I'm not really feeling, I still feel like I want something else. And maybe that's the point where you give yourself permission to have a snack, or you have a little dessert to go with it or something like that. Whereas in some other cases, maybe feeling satisfied is having, like you mentioned, your grandma's delicious casserole. And maybe you stop when you feel like you've had enough and you're not necessarily full, but you just feel like this meal has been great and this is all I want to have because this is just where I'm at. Maybe you say, this is where I'm going to save room because I know grandma made her famous pie, something like that. So it's the short way of saying it is, I tend to think of things like you could get full on really any food and get that full feeling, but satisfaction is more around what are the foods that I really am craving right now and what is a food that I'm really going to enjoy. That's not going to happen maybe at every meal, but at least giving yourself the permission to get to that place where you can say, oh, this is what I want, I'm going to have it. That's where you can start to at least feel the satisfaction come back into meals and meal times.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you just said. I always say when I'm thinking of this principle, yeah, I can get full off of celery sticks, and I do enjoy celery sticks, but if what I was actually in the mood for was a cheeseburger, I'm still going to be full, but I'm not going to feel satisfied, and that's kind of where I think of of that difference.
Right. And I think with dieting, what tends to happen is like every meal you end, you feel unsatisfied but for most of it. Whereas at least with intuitive eating, or where you get to the point where you feel kind of neutral around food, that's where you can say, okay, maybe this meal wasn't the most satisfying, but it's all I had at the time. Or, you know, I was at someone's house and this is what they were serving. But you know, like at the next meal, you could have something that you're craving. You know, you have the ability and you've given yourself the permission to have it. And I think that's one thing that when you start doing intuitive eating can be really scary, because you're thinking, well, maybe I don't know what satisfies me, or you think only quote unquote bad foods will satisfy you. But as you start to get back into it, that could be where you learn that you love baking, or you love, you know, there's all these other things that maybe you haven't allowed yourself to enjoy for a while.
And I liked what you said about how, I liked the example of where if I was actually craving a homemade cookie or something like that, but then I tell myself, because I'm depriving myself and restricting, that I can't have that, it's too many calories or whatever I'm counting at that point in my life. And so instead I have these, oh gosh, I don't even know what they have for 100 calorie packs anymore. And I'm not satisfied after one. So I think, oh, okay, well, it's pretty small. So I have another. And then when I look back at what I had eaten, I actually ended up having more than what I would have had if I had just honored what I was craving and had the cookie. I think that's such a good example. And I remember learning about that type of example when I was first hearing about intuitive eating, and it just clicked for me. I was like, oh, I know I've done that many times in my life. For example, in my dorm room, I would stock up on all of these quote unquote low calorie snacks. And really what they were was this low energy snack that didn't do a whole lot for me. So I would end up eating a lot of them to try to get to that satisfaction. So I loved that example that you gave, because I can definitely relate in my own life.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that as people start to give themselves permission, they realize, oh, when I have the food I was craving, I feel satisfied and I move on. Mm-hmm. Versus dieting, when you're trying to make something else taste like that food. Like you said, you end up eating a lot more of something else. You're never actually maybe satisfied. And then you might be overfull because you ate all this other stuff and you never actually got to that place of just enjoying it and then moving on. Then yep. You might feel guilt, or you might feel shame around it, or there's so many other kind of emotions that go along with those things. But I think when you learn what is satisfying and how to reach it again, it kind of ends up being a lot easier than you made things before.
Absolutely. One thing that I enjoy about this principle is, I'll include this in the show notes, but they have a figure in the book that's, they call satisfaction the hub of intuitive eating. And so in the picture, if you can imagine, they have satisfaction in nice big print in the middle in a circle. And then there's branches out to all of the other principles on it, because it's showing how this one really ties them all together. And I love how that's explained, because I think it's so true. Without this principle, I think some of it could turn into just another diet in some sense, of just only eating when you're hungry, only stopping when you're full, and not enjoying those foods that you really, really enjoy.
Like you said, it having it kind of at the center, you know, it's almost like you don't fully feel all the other principles without this one.
Yes.
Whether it's exercise or whether it's the gentle nutrition, there has to be some sort of satisfaction behind any of those things that we're doing. Or like you said, it ends up just being, oh, I have to eat to live, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. And I think we forget along the way, especially if you're kind of stuck in the diet mentality, is you just forget, what was it like to really crave something and have it? And I don't want to say live in the moment of it, but, you know, actually enjoy it while you're eating it, and not either be thinking like, oh, I can't have this for X reason, or, oh, I'm eating too much, or it's kind of like going back to enjoying things again. Mm-hmm. Again, I always use the example of like eating like when you're a kid, but it's kind of true. It's like getting back to those basic mentalities of, I want this and I'm going to have it and I'm going to enjoy it. And then I'm on to the next. Satisfaction is such an important part of all of it. And I think without that, maybe it just doesn't feel 100% full and enjoyable without that part. Because we can eat just to get to our next meal or to get to our next thing. And sometimes that is what we have to do. Not every meal is going to be like a sit down gourmet, your favorite meal, your favorite dessert, that kind of thing. But I think at least bringing some sort of, what am I really feeling like today, and what sorts of things am I craving? You know, is it something salty? Is it something sweet? Is it at least honoring some of those things that you're wanting in that moment gets you to that, to fully feel that satisfaction. And And it does branch out into other parts of our lives too, not just nutrition and food.
Right. Well, I like that you bring up the important point that not every meal is going to be the most satisfying, delicious meal you've ever had and in this nice ambiance, I guess, because, you know, we are human. We do tend to live fast-paced lives. I know I am someone who has a tendency on busy days to eat lunch while I'm checking my email, and it's maybe not the most satisfying experience, but it's what needs to be done in that moment. But I think still keeping this principle in mind and also exploring, well, what environments do I feel better about eating in, and what kind of mood do I like to have established for that meal? Do I prefer to be rushed like that at my lunches, or do I maybe prefer when I have a bit more time to understand, am I enjoying this meal, and getting into those senses too. So I like that you mentioned that it's not always going to happen. And in fact, it's kind of a privilege to have every meal be super satisfying.
Yeah, I think that, like I had used the example earlier of, you know, takeout not always being the same as when you go to a restaurant. And I think part of that's the environment you're in. Maybe it's whether you're going out to eat or you're going to a family event. You're usually more relaxed and not on your computer, not on your phone. So a lot of that has part to do with it too. Something you eat there, you could eat the same exact thing at home by yourself in front of the TV and have it not be as satisfying. And I think that's one important thing to remember. And like you said, it's definitely a lot of privilege comes along with having that ability to be able to choose what you might want and choose who you can spend it with. And we don't all have the luxury of just saying, oh, this is what I want, and going out and getting it or having it made for us. So that's an important part of it, is to remember that you can be satisfied by something that maybe isn't your favorite meal or a gourmet meal. It's all about just kind of the mindset around it.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. So sometimes we diet and follow so many rules that I think it can be almost difficult for some people when they get to this principle and they have to ask themselves what kinds of foods they actually like. I've had that happen in session with clients where they're like, gosh, I can't even think of what my favorite food is or what I most enjoy eating. Do you have any tips for how someone can go about exploring this?
I think usually what I try to tell my clients is first, maybe start with the foods that you think you can't have, but that you really want. And a lot of times, unfortunately, this is what people think intuitive eating is. You know, they see on Instagram, they're like, oh, it's all donuts and cookies and pizza. But in reality, it's those tend to be foods that people on diets think they can't have. And so that's usually where I tell people to start is, you know, think of a food that you really like, and maybe right now you think it's a quote unquote bad food, but get that food and, you know, sit down and really enjoy it and see, does this bring you satisfaction? Do you enjoy this? Is this something that, you know, at first it might be feeling a little out of control around those foods, and that's normal and that's okay. But I think the first step is just kind of saying, what are all the foods that I told myself I couldn't have before? And now if I had unconditional permission, what would I want? And that could be a place to start. And sometimes those foods people eat, and then it gets to the point where they say, oh, you know, that food's good, but it's not really as good as I had maybe made it out to be in my head. And sometimes too, what people will find is, you know, the foods that do satisfy them are sometimes some of the diet foods that maybe they had, you know, some of the healthier foods, but it's just reframing them in a light where they can have anything. Sometimes the satisfying meal might just be a starch, a vegetable, and a protein, whereas some meals, maybe it's a casserole, or maybe it's getting fast food or something like that. So I think in terms of starting out, it's just kind of giving yourself permission to just say, okay, what am I craving right now? Let me have that food and just see how I feel after eating it, and how, if it's still something that I really, really enjoy, or maybe it's just something that I had kind of made forbidden for so long that I felt like I would really enjoy it, but in reality, I could take it or leave it. So I think just kind of getting back in touch with trying new foods and trying maybe old foods that you thought you didn't like anymore. You know, there's so much, I guess, freedom that comes along with working through your relationship with food and improving it. And it can really bring a lot of new and old foods back into the satisfying realm.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of the reason I think this principle is so fun is because you really can have fun with it and start exploring the types of foods. And like you said, sometimes maybe it wasn't as satisfying as you thought it would be. And so there's no problem with that. There's no judgment there. It's just, okay, we troubleshoot and we go back and let's try a different food. What actually does sound good in that moment? And it can be a fun process of exploring new foods, exploring old favorites, and just having fun with it.
Yeah. And it can, I mean, it can differ by day or by season, you know. Mm-hmm. It can totally be, you know, what is satisfying to you 1 week, maybe the next week you're over it, or you know, you had too much of it last week and you're like, okay, done with that. Now I'm going to move on to another food.
Yep.
And I think that's one thing that doesn't have to be every meal I'm going to eat the same thing that I know is satisfying, because if you eat the same thing every day, it might not be satisfying anymore.
Exactly.
So that's, like you said, one thing that can kind of be fun about. It's almost like you're having these foods for the first time again.
Yeah. One example that I have loved to use the last couple of years since I first heard about it is there's a therapist on Instagram. And of course, she practices too. She's not just on Instagram, but her name's Tiffany Rowe. And her husband, he has an account called Hey Mr. Rowe. And he's a teacher, I believe. He's not a dietitian or a therapist or anything like that, but he's a very supportive husband and he totally gets intuitive eating. And he would describe himself as a natural intuitive eater. And he has what they've kind of coined as the Mr. Rowe method, where I don't know if I've seen it as much. I haven't been as active lately on social media, but he has these stories linked on his Instagram where he and his wife will be out at a restaurant and he'll kind of go through his process of how he decides what sounds good in that moment. And it's never, oh, you know, does this fit my macros, or is this going to be too greasy, or something like that. He simply will ask himself what sounds good in terms of taste, texture, and temperatures, and he'll kind of try to pinpoint what actually sounds good there. So it might be something sweet sounds good right now, and smooth and cold. And then you might identify, okay, ice cream sounds good right now. That's what I'm going to be on the hunt for if I'm able to right now. And I think that's such a fun way to look at it. And I've found myself using that too, because there are some days where I am hungry, but I just don't know what I'm in the mood for.
Yeah. And I think now that you brought that up too, it made me think of I'ma Eat That. She's another dietitian.
Love her.
Yeah. She has great posts. And she did post one where it was talking about like meal prepping or meal planning. And that's such a can be such a diety thing for people. And one tip that she recommended for people who still want to have some semblance of, not everyone wants to say, oh, what am I craving today? Let me go to the grocery store every day. No, most people don't want to do that. So she kind of just gave some tips of like, what are a couple protein foods you like? What are a couple beverages that you like? What are a couple snacks that you like? Just kind of basing it off that, like, what are some sauces that you like? Or what are some starches? And getting like a little of everything. So that way during the week, you could say, oh, I'm going to take one of the proteins with one of the sauces and mix it with this starch. And just that way you have all these things on hand that you know you like, but you don't have to force yourself ahead of time to say, oh, I'm going to make this one specific meal, or I'm going to make like chicken broccoli Alfredo. Like, you can just have all the components to make a bunch of different things. And that can be a little easier for people who are easing into it to just kind of say, all right, these are a couple of each food type or food group that I like, and I'll have them on hand. And that way I can try to make something out of these each day, or whenever I'm feeling like it. And I think those are good methods. Like the examples you use too, of just sometimes you're just identifying like a taste or texture that you want and just going off that way versus saying, oh, it can be hard when you come out of dieting and you've looked at everything as, like you said, macros or calories or a certain amount of fruits and vegetables or X, Y, and Z. And it can be hard to say, okay, now how do I make a meal? Mm-hmm. Where do I start? So those are kind of just some tips that I think I've found helpful. And I know I've used them with clients too, as just kind of a place to start.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually know exactly which post you're talking about of Kylie's. Yeah. Or I'ma Eat That, because I loved that so much, because I actually sometimes struggle with understanding what the heck I should buy at the grocery store. So I use it for myself. And then I actually turned that into a handout that I started using with clients, because a lot of them were experiencing the same thing on their intuitive eating journey, or in some of my clients who struggle with eating disorders, of what to buy. And I love that she categorizes things, like you said, a couple sauces, or I think she maybe has a couple fun drinks and some snacks and maybe a dessert item and proteins and some veggies. veggies when you can kind of cater it to the number of people in your household and how much you might need. But I love having that starting point. So at least you have foods that you know will maybe pair well together, but they're all foods that you know you like because you put them on your list.
Right.
Yeah. So it's funny how much of a small world it is that we were both thinking of that exact same post. Thing, right? Yes. And how helpful it is. So props to Kylie, because I know that we're not the only ones who've talked about that post too. So we've talked a lot about, you know, the flavors of food, and we've also alluded to in the environment and maybe the pace of which we're eating. So, you know, besides the flavor of our foods and the types of foods, what else would you kind of sum up as making food a satisfying experience?
I think other than flavor, it could just be as simple as a meal that doesn't cause you stress while you're eating it. It could just be something like, for so long, I worried about how much to eat or how many carbs were in that meal or how many calories, something like that. So sometimes too, it can just be satisfying to not think about those things at all. And that's really one thing that I have found as I've gone through my relationship with food, and even especially with a lot of the clients that I have, they say, you know, I've found that eating this food is really satisfying only because I went out and got it and didn't think anything else of it. And that can be a good example too of how the satisfaction factor is kind of like in the middle of all the other principles, is like, if you can just feel free around food and enjoy it in that capacity, it might not even be, you know, the best tasting taco or whatever that you've had. But maybe it's just the fact that you're eating it with friends and you're not thinking about it. You didn't think about it for hours before you went out to eat what you were going to eat and all that kind of stuff. I think it can be just so satisfying to like look at a menu and just immediately think, okay, that is what sounds good. And that can definitely take time. It's not something that as soon as you say, oh, I'm not dieting anymore, you're instantly able to just order anything off a menu. That can take a while, and that can be really hard, like we had talked about, to even understand what might satisfy me.
Right.
But I think that part of it is a big piece, you know, along with the flavor and along with the company you're with or the ambiance of where you are, could just be like, I'm eating this and I'm not stressed about anything food related, and that's really great. And just even honoring that you are eating when you're feeling hungry. For so long, a lot of us try to ignore when we're hungry. And I love that analogy of like going to the bathroom. Like, you'd never be like, oh, I have to pee again.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to pee again? Like, you would never overanalyze it like that. You'd just be like, okay, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Right.
Whereas with food, we're always saying like, oh, but I just ate, you know, X hours ago, or I had a really big lunch. Why am I hungry? I think part of feeling the satisfaction too could just be like stopping and grabbing a snack, or saying, okay, now it's time to eat dinner because I'm getting hungry. And then just eating it and saying, okay, my body is getting the nourishment it needs, and I didn't stop and question it. And I didn't, yeah. You know, and I have found personally that satisfaction factor ends up bleeding out into many other areas of life. Like, you start to enjoy finding movement that you enjoy, that you're not forced to do, and finding maybe the friend groups that you want to hang out with that are the ones who are truly giving you satisfaction and enjoyment. And it just can help kind of open your eyes to what are the things that I really want to do in life, and what are the things that I'm just doing because someone or something told me I had to. And I think that's a big piece of coming out of diet culture, is just feeling satisfied and free in life in general. And, you know, we talk about like, or Christy Harrison especially talks about like reclaiming your life and how dieting can be like life thief. And I think finding satisfaction again is like one of those things that you almost forgot what it feels like for some people. You know, they've just kind of forgotten, like, they go through the motions of this is what I'm going to eat and not thinking about it. And I think that's where satisfaction can really just change your whole mindset around things, and not just food.
Oh, I can 100% agree with that. I think it spills over into maybe you had hobbies in the past that you no longer really enjoy anymore, but you feel like it's part of your identity. Years ago, I considered myself a pretty good runner, and then it stopped being as enjoyable. But then I almost felt like I still had to do it because I felt like I talked about it all the time prior. So I had to live up to that. But I love that intuitive eating. And of course, there's also a principle for talking more about movement. Again, just with this principle, it gives you that permission that if something's not satisfying to you beyond food, this may be a good opportunity to kind of reevaluate if it's something that you want to continue in your life with.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that can be kind of scary, because having a routine, and not just with dieting, but, you know, kind of in life, like having a routine for a lot of things can be a comfort. And I think when you break out of that and just kind of say, oh, now I can do anything and I can find what I enjoy, can be kind of scary to say, oh, I'm actually, like, you use running, like, oh, I'm running just because I feel like I've always run.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm not enjoying it anymore. We all change all the time and throughout our lives. And it could be true of a job. It could be a friendship, or there's so many things that I think when you become more intuitive in eating it, then you find out other things in your life that you're like, oh, I've been really unintuitive in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a really interesting, but also kind of scary process. And I think that's where, like, therapy goes along really well with
nutrition,
counseling. Yeah. Body image and all of that. There's so many things that are kind of linked together with food. And once you kind of break that apart, that's where sometimes you realize, oh, there are a lot of other things kind of that were buried in here. And it helps you live a fuller life. But that is, can be why it, this isn't some overnight process. And this isn't like a diet where you just follow it and X should happen. That's why they say the principles of intuitive eating aren't in order either, because some people might start with principle 9 and then they're all over the place. And I think there's no specific way to kind of go through it. You just learn as you go and learn if there's new, maybe new ways you have to cope or new activities to do, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so well said. And I think that's such a good way to end this episode. And I thank you so much for coming on today. I'm sure this time in history is crazy for all of us. So I so appreciate you taking the time and sharing all of this wealth of knowledge with our listeners. And before I let you go, I want to make sure you let everyone know where people can find you on Instagram and any other socials that you may use.
Yeah. And thank you again for having me, because this was a, like you said, a nice break during this crazy time. And it's been nice to have the chance to talk with other people, even if it's virtually.
Yep.
But yeah, so I'm on Instagram. It's at Full Permission Nutrition. And that's also I have a Facebook page, and then I have a website too. That's for my business. But I also put blogs and recipes and stuff up there. And Instagram, I tend to share a lot of things. I'm more of a sharer probably than my own original post, but I just always feel like there's always so many things on there that I'm like, oh, I love that she said that. So I'm definitely kind of a sharer of other messages. So I'm always tagging other people and other accounts on Instagram. So people want to follow me there. It's a good kind of centralized place for me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I look forward to chatting with you soon. And hopefully we can meet up at another WIND event and actually chat in person.
Yes. And thank you, Amanda.
That's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you to Anchor for again hosting my podcast. Be sure to download and subscribe this podcast on Apple or your favorite streaming device. If you're looking for ways to get started on your own journey towards food freedom, head over to my website at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course to get started on my self-paced course. If you need more individualized help, I also offer virtual coaching, and you can get in touch with me at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/virtual-coaching. To get show notes from this episode, you can go to spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast. And of course, if you're not already following me on Instagram or Facebook, I'm at spillingthebeans_nutrition. Our album art was photographed by my very own little cousin, Brittany Preller, and our theme song was written by Daniel James O'Connor and is used under the Creative Commons license.